right now on VFN TV. We're going to get a glimpse at the joint session speech of President Trump. We're also going to look at the story behind Ryan Owens and his wife in Congress. And we're going to even see the president land on the USS Gerald Ford and give a speech about the military and where we're going to go. And the health care bill, what does it mean? Well, we got it out. We're going to make it available for you right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Well, it was so exciting to see all of our leaders come together in Washington, D.C. at the joint session of Congress as President Donald Trump addressed them. As a matter of fact, let's just take a look back at that address, kind of a quick look.
Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world. I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength, and it is a message deeply delivered from my heart. A new chapter of American greatness is now beginning. A new national pride is sweeping across our nation, and a new surge of optimism is placing impossible dreams firmly within our grasp. What we are witnessing today is the renewal of the American spirit. Our allies will find that America is once again ready to lead. I am asking all citizens to embrace this renewal of the American spirit. I am asking all members of Congress to join me in dreaming big and bold and daring things for our country. I am asking everyone watching tonight to seize this moment, believe in yourselves, believe in your future, and believe once more in America. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless the United States.
That's so exciting to go back and look at the president addressing the joint session of Congress and the vision for America. As a matter of fact, during that joint session, Carolyn Owens, the wife of Ryan Owens, who gave his life for us as he went out to gather intelligence with the military, and they had a hard landing. I believe it was a helicopter landed really hard, and it caused disorientation, and it cost him his life. And they got all kinds of intelligence reports are for us, and he gave his life for us. Well, she stood up. The president had her stand up in the longest appreciated ovation, saying, "Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for what you did." It was the longest, reportedly, in the history of America. We're so grateful to her. As a matter of fact, let's just take a look at Carolyn Owens at the story. Take a look.
As the Bible teaches us, there is no greater act of love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Ryan laid down his life for his friends, for his country, and for our freedom.
A mother with children and a busy life, she says, "Okay, I'm going to start loving a neighbor." So she built a bridge with her. And lo and behold, now this woman's a widow. But she has a friend now. And this friend has a church. She didn't know that was going to happen. God did.
Our hearts and prayers go out to Carolyn Owens and her family. We're so grateful for all of our military that daily puts their lives on the line, and the cost was huge. But the reward in regards to it's not in vain. As a matter of fact, the president says it will never be forgotten. It's going to be etched into the memory of America. He is a hero, and we're so grateful for his life and his sacrifice. And we're just going to continue to pray for Carolyn Owens and her family. That's a real, real difficult, difficult, unexplainable pain that you go through at a time like that. But I'm so grateful that the country understands that his sacrifice was not in vain. That he gave his life. You know, greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for a friend. And that's what President Trump quoted when he was thanking her for what took place. Well, you're looking at the health care bill. We've been hearing quite some time talking about replacing Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. Well, they are working on it right now. As a matter of fact, they put up a version of it. We're going to make it available to you at VFNTV.com on the torch, where you can see yourself. And it's in the bill format, where you can look at it and they can make changes and make updates to it. But I think it's a pretty interesting fact before we hear Representative Brady explain what the bill that's coming out, that Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, had 20,000 pages. You could stack it up, it would be this high, 20,000 pages. Well, the American health care bill, what they're calling this new health care, has 123 pages. I mean, you think about it. I mean, God only has 10 commandments, you know. It's amazing. We found a lot of things were put in those 20,000 pages that they didn't even know what they were. And that's what was kind of really oppressing the people. But let's listen to Representative Brady as he talks about and explains. Not only is he going to explain, but Walden's also going to explain. Brady's going to explain the health care bill and what it does for us. But Walden's going to explain the Medicare and how that's going to affect how everything's going back to the states. Let's take a look.
A special report exclusive. We go behind the scenes to see how Republican lawmakers will manage the legislation through the often Byzantine approval process, and we'll talk specifics. Joining me tonight from Scottsdale, Arizona, is House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Kevin Brady, and from Capitol Hill, House Energy and Commerce Committee Chairman Greg Walden. Chairman, thank you for joining me. Let's start and break this up. There are two committees here dealing with two parts of this legislation. Chairman Brady, let me start with you and Ways and Means, and I guess the tax part of this equation.
Yes, so it has been 7 years since Obamacare was passed into law. It is collapsing. It has hurt more people than it's helped. And so tonight we deliver on President Trump's promise to repeal and begin replacing it with two big principles. One, to restore state control of health care, get it out of Washington, and also restore the free market. So give individuals the power and the freedom to choose plans that's right for them. That second part is in the Ways and Means area. So we begin by repealing the awful taxes, the mandate penalties, and the subsidies in Obamacare, and to give Americans the freedom to buy plans that they need. That includes nearly doubling the size of the health savings accounts and make them more usable. That's good for the out-of-pocket costs. But we give them a tax credit, immediately usable. The ranges in price from $2,000 to $14,000 a year, depends upon on their age and their family. And with that, they can buy affordable plans that are approved and certified in the state that they're in. And these are plans that they need and can use, not the plans that Washington's been dictating to them.
How is this, Chairman Brady, not Obamacare light from your perspective?
Yeah, it is Obamacare gone, because we repeal all those taxes, those mandates, those subsidies. There's nothing left there. And instead, we give them the same tax break that we give workers at big businesses. We give that same tax help to small business people, those mom and pop businesses, workers at small businesses, even those entrepreneurs and families in between jobs, the ability to buy a plan that's right for them. And I think maybe most importantly, we're giving Americans a freedom who haven't got health care at work and they don't have in a government program freedom like they've never had before to buy health care that's right for them. So this is clearly Obamacare gone and new freedom.
And Chairman Brady, last thing on this is, are the tax credits means tested?
We focused on, obviously, we want to make sure that as you get older, your health care premium increases or your tax credit increases. And also, as your family expands, we want it to expand with you as well. And so we focused it really on the low in middle-income families who don't get health care at work. This is really important whether you're a young person starting just leaving school and your parents' health care, whether you're a small business person just struggling to make ends meet, or you're a retiree who's worked your whole life and there's a few years left before Medicare. This really fits what Americans need.
All right, Chairman Walden, you're dealing with the Energy and Commerce legislation and basically Medicaid and what happens with Medicaid.
Well, Brett, when we repeal and replace Obamacare, it will amount to the biggest entitlement reform probably at least the last 20 years, certainly since the Clinton days when they reformed welfare. And what we want to do is restore power to the states, put Medicaid on a budget, and get back to where you have a doctor-patient relationship in health care and in the individual insurance market, which, as you know, as you've reported on, is collapsing all around us. One out of three counties, patients have one choice for an insurance plan. But let me make clear a couple things we're going to make sure. We're not pulling the rug out from under people. We're not going back to the days where those with pre-existing conditions were penalized or could not access health insurance, and not back to the days of lifetime caps or allowing your kids not to be on your insurance till they're 26. Those protections stay as we reform Medicaid and get it on a budget, get it back to the states. And let me give you one example, Brett, that I think says it all. Governor Herbert from Utah petitioned the federal government to be able just to communicate by email with his Medicaid recipients who had email. 9 months later, the federal bureaucrat said he couldn't do it. By email, they told him that. That would have saved his state $6 million. This is the kind of thing that makes no sense, drives up costs. We want to get back to where our governors and our states and our local governments can innovate with those most in need, those on Medicaid, make sure they're properly cared for, and that we get waste, fraud, and abuse out of the system.
Now, this includes pre-existing conditions. It includes keeping your child on there till 26?
Yes, yes, indeed, and no lifetime caps. We think those were all important provisions. Those were, frankly, in many cases, Republican provisions long before there was an Obamacare. I worked on some of these issues way back in the 90s when I was in the state legislature because, you know, health issues don't look at your voter registration card. They just hit your family. And we want to make sure those most in need get the care they deserve or not excluded just because you have a pre-existing condition.
Well, Chairman, this is so important because it was ruled, Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, was ruled a tax. And that's what it ended up being. Remember, it was not going to pass. It went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Chief Judge, he said, George Roberts said, this is a tax. Well, this is what one man said. The power to tax is the power to destroy. And what they're working on with this bill, and this is why we're talking about it, is that they're breaking that power that the federal government had over every American, and they're putting it back to the states. That's the goal. So, it's all going to work out. We got to pray for wisdom as this thing working out. But it's important that America's not destroyed. We don't need a huge tax. Tax is this. The government says you got to pay it. And if you don't pay it, they actually take your stuff and they put you in jail. And they began to force people to say you're going to have to pay it. They wouldn't file your income taxes, reports are, and give you a tax return on your income taxes until you paid that particular fee. Well, that's all changing. Because this is a free nation, free America. And so remember, the power to tax is the power to destroy. And what they're doing right now, they're saying, listen, we don't want the federal government to have the ability to destroy you as an American. So we need to pray for them. This is a bill format. It's going up online for people to be able to see it and make changes to it. There's a lot of morphing and changing that's going to take place before it moves all through the process. And we're going to make available to you on the Torch, on the VFN Torch, a simple old-fashioned cartoon that you can see again. I don't know if you remember that cartoon. It's called Schoolhouse Rocks, and it talks about the process of a bill. But it'll show you a bill's not a law, and it has a process to go through to be able to actually be a law. But I'm excited about it. This is brand new. The president just got in, and they're already working on the things that the majority of Americans said, we want this resolved. Well, listen, if you have not yet seen the movie The Shack, you got to see it. It'll bless your heart. It'll really bless your heart. As a matter of fact, this is Isaiah Ramos at the VFN Dream Center. He was sharing about his experience when he saw it, and then we'll be back after this break.
It was a really good movie. I'd say it's like probably one of my favorite movies of all time. I just love how they really express the love of God. And I don't want to share any. I don't want to like tell parts of the story. It's kind of really hard to tell you, to give my testimony about the movie. because, you know, I don't want to ruin it for anybody. But I definitely recommend that anybody should watch this movie. And I think it can save a lot of lost people and confused people. Because, you know, you often, you know, struggle, like, why does God allow these things to happen? So I definitely recommend that everyone should see this movie.
So how did it deepen your knowledge and awareness of God's love?
It kind of strengthened my heart to realize that God is always with me and that he's never left me ever. So it's just good to know that he's always with me and that he loves me.
How did it change your viewpoint in regards to God's thoughts towards you?
It just made me feel like really special and that he loves me as a son and that he really cares about me. So yeah.
It's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
For a movie.
Yeah.
But it's a top seller and book. Top 10 seller in the world, I believe.
Really?
How many millions of copies? 27 million copies. Wow. And now the movie's just coming out. And this is definitely a movie generation.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Who needs a book? Let's watch the flick. Okay. What did it? How did it encourage you in regards to if you're struggling with something? How is God going to work with you? Is he just going to leave you? Or
oh no, he's going to stick with you the rest of the way. He's always going to be there with you. He'll never forsake you.
Even big things.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's give him a hand. Woo-hoo! Captain.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation live. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We've lost so much already. I don't want to lose you too.
Ain't it just like a tear to go and blur out?
A letter showed up in my mailbox with no tracks in the snow.
Just like you're not thinking about going back there, are you?
I gotta do something. This is all I got.
Just like love to leave a mark on the skin and underneath.
Welcome back. Things are changing. They're changing fast, aren't
yes,
they, John?
Yes, very.
If y'all missed the earlier part of the program, you know, the health care bill's, you know, going through. They're beginning to process already. And it's 128 pages versus
20,000.
20,000. I mean, think about that.
That's ridiculous. No bill should be 20,000 pages.
Yeah, 20,000 pages from the Obamacare Affordable Health Care Act. And 128 pages for the new American healthcare.
Amazing. Big difference.
Huge, huge difference. Man, what's happening here with Lou Engle? I know that we're coming to Purim again, right?
Purim. Purim is a celebration where the Jews celebrate escaping God's deliverance of Haman's plot to destroy them.
He was going to literally destroy every one of the Jews.
Oh, yeah.
That's where they hear about Esther and Mordecai.
For such
and
a time.
2 years
as
ago, during Purim, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was speaking at the Congress. Remember, he came in March the 3rd, and he spoke and just spoke to the Americans. I wish we're going to make that available to you on the VFN Torch. But what's Lou Engle saying here?
Well, Lou Engle had a dream, and following the dream, two separate ladies contacted him and asked him to...
In the dream?
Well, no, outside of the dream, so it was a confirmation.
What was the dream he had?
He didn't go into much detail, but what he was saying is that this is a profound moment in our nation's history, that there is basically, an attack on the president, witchcraft.
President
Trump.
Okay.
There's an attack on the president. There's a lot of witchcraft being done against him. But also, this is an opportunity.
And, you know, a lot of people think witchcraft are thinking about somebody in a pointed hat and a broom.
Huh.
But the reality is, you know, witchcraft, the definition of it is incantations. And incantation, the definition of that is things spoken out in a certain way to make a certain behavior or action take place. And so you're looking at all these things that aren't true, coming against him. And so we can pray against that, you know. But then some people think, which they're thinking like, what are you talking about witchcraft? But it's, literally, it's incantations. Incantations is somebody says, well, that doesn't affect me. Somebody could say something to you, could ruin your day.
In a minute.
That's
in
a witchcraft.
A minute.
That's witchcraft. You know, when they're
it's
changing. But the bombardment's attacking him.
Yeah.
I mean, there is just so many things. It's like, we're in two different worlds here. There's one world where we have a president that's openly supporting the church, openly supporting the Constitution, making a way for every American, wanting to protect our borders, wanting to save the health care in America, and it's only been a few days.
Yeah.
And then you have this other thing that I don't even, you know, I encourage you, if you want, I got something that was cheaper than anything you can imagine that's going to help your health. Stop watching networks that lie. You just can't do it. When that comes and that hits your spirit, even though and you start getting all upset, it's like you knew for the last 2 weeks they've been lying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to affect you. It will make you unhealthy. It will stir your mind. And that's what they want you to do. They want to keep seeing these things. If you repeat a lie long enough, according to Saul Alinsky, then people begin to believe it. But if you don't watch it, if you don't look at it, you know, they need to earn your eyes again. They need to earn your time again. And until they stop doing that, just don't watch it. Tune into VFN TV.
Absolutely.
Tune into your local news. And your whole life will be totally
different.
Watch
what it produces in your life. Hopelessness, frustration, anger. That possibly can be good for you.
And then they sell you high blood pressure medicine in the middle of those lies.
Yeah.
And you think, like, you know, people used to say they're lying. They're really just saying that. But the truth is, they're lying.
They're
really not telling the truth.
Yeah.
And they're leaving out 80% of the truth.
Sure.
And telling 20% that makes it look like something's wrong. And that's why you got to tune into VFN TV and all the broadcasts that are bringing truth to you as much as the best we can. And things are really good. That's why people are getting stirred up so much that, you know, the people that are working and taking care of their families, which is the majority of America, they're not all caught up in that.
Mm.
But what's he saying? That's what he's saying.
But there's another part of this as well, that this is God showed him, and he went to this leadership prayer summit.
Lou Engel.
And the anointing was so strong. There was something that was revealed there that women were going to rise up during this season, mm-hmm. godly women, and take an Esther stand. And so they really want to pray into this, that because so many things happened right after the inauguration,
right.
where you had this march. A lot of Christian women weren't represented. The pro-life women weren't representative in this march.
Right.
And so they're praying and they're contending and asking the church to get involved in this urgent prayer and fasting period. Starts March the 8th on Wednesday at sundown all the way to March the 11th. And they want us just to pray.
Because Esther did that. You know,
Esther
was being prepared to be married to the king. Mordecai was her uncle. The threat came in from Haman. Haman had this whole, he was a governmental official that had the government working to destroy all God's people. And they said, she said this, she said, if you will fast, Mordecai, because Mordecai came and said, you go tell the king something. And she said, they'll kill me if I show up. But she said, if you fast and pray for 3 days, then I will go. In other words, I'll risk my life and I'll stand before the king. Yeah. And she did. They did. They prayed and fasted. She, which is women that he's talking about, showed up. And the king was shocked to find out what was going on. And all the evil plans, think about this, all the evil plans that the enemy of God's people planned against God's people, the exact same plans were turned on them.
Absolutely.
So let's pray about that.
Yeah.
I mean, let it be. I mean, that would encourage them not to make bad plans because they may have to eat them.
Listen, falls in line with what Patricia King prophesied on the 17 words for 2017 about this year, women were going to have platform like they haven't had in many, many years. So it's just pretty encouraging to see.
Speaking of women, you know, Bridget Gabrielle in 2015... kind of bold. And she prophesied she didn't know it was going to be President Trump, but she prophesied what this next president will be. And I want you to hear it, because right after that we're going to take you to the president landing on the USS Gerald Ford aircraft carrier and he gives this awesome speech. But listen to how she describes him before she even knows that he's going to be president. This is Bridget Gabrielle. She's at a value summit and she's saying this next president's going to be just like this. Take a look.
This is very important, that whoever we're going to elect is going to be somebody who is strong on national security, who's going to put America first, who's going to make America great again, who's going to send a strong message to the world. The minute he walks into office, whoever we elect, that the world is going to realize that this person you're not going to mess with, because he could care less about what you think, what the UN thinks, what the world thinks.
So, I mean, you're looking at, you know, she's saying, and she didn't know, this is 2015. Mm. Nobody knew who the president would be. But when we get back from this break, you know, we're going to show you the president that she prophesied about, President Donald Trump, landing on the USS Gerald Ford and speaking with authority.
Commander-in-Chief.
Commander-in-Chief.
Right?
It's very, very powerful. But listen, I have this offer for you. This is an offer we'd like to give you. We want to send this to you for your partnership of any amount whatsoever. It's entitled, Is God in Charge or Is He in Control or Both? This is very important because a lot of people, things happen in their life and they just blame it on God. But when good things happen, quite often they go, I did that. And the reality is, we're going to find out, did God give us the authority to move on this earth? And he's like a parent that's in charge, but he kind of gives us the leeway to be able to make decisions? Or does he? Are we like puppets and he's controlling? This is a very important word, very encouraging word. We want to send this to you for your financial partnership of any amount whatsoever. As a matter of fact, here's the details.
Offer 2027. Is God in charge, in control, or both? Knowing and understanding who is in control and who is in charge is so important and a key to living either filled with adventure and success or confusion, blame, and struggle. There's nothing more frustrating than trying to follow a leader who doesn't understand that they are responsible for leadership. There's nothing more destructive than those who are not called to lead to struggle against authority. You'll discover the difference between being in charge and being in control, or known as free will. When you discover how much God loves you and how much he has entrusted to you, given to you to exercise your free will, you'll begin to understand how God has made you so that you can be the answer to the world, its darkness, and for captive people, an actual ambassador. We want to send this to you for a free gift of any amount. Become a partner today by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or write to us at VFNTV. That's 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PNB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2027. Is God in charge, in control, or both?
Talented public school program out of control. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Our daughter is in fifth grade, so this year refuses to say the Pledge of Allegiance because it says one nation under God. She asks the children to retrieve her hominid skull, and she gets the kids to bring it to her, and she carries it around, not pertaining to the lecture. She referred to Christ as that boy from Nazareth.
All right, let me jump right in here. We're going to get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice. Making disparaging statements about your daughter or her faith is not allowed. That is a violation of the law. Let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice. Hang on the line here, Dana. We'll get you some help.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Hi, my name is John Maxwell, and Kelly George is a business owner from Branston, West Missouri. Kelly wants me to talk about endurance. I have a friend, Kelly, that has an expression that if I've heard him say it once to me, I've heard him say it 100 times. That is, he'll say, John, keep on keeping on. Now, all he's doing is encouraging me to endure, to be steadfast, to stay focused, not to quit. You see, I've discovered that people who fail to get to the top are not people who lack the potential to get to the top. They just lacked the endurance to get to the top. They somehow decided that if they would quit, it would be better than if they would continue on. And I think the prize of success doesn't always go to the quickest or the most brilliant. The person who finishes the line the fastest or the soonest, I think it goes to the person who understands that day by day, week by week, if they are consistent in their behavior, consistent in their action, that they will arrive where they need to arrive. You see, endurance, it's not a sexy word, is it? It's not a word that we kind of want to be known as, oh, there goes an enduring person. We'd rather be known as a brilliant person or a quick person, a bright person. But here's what I do know. If you take endurance out of the life of a person, no matter how gifted, no matter what opportunities they are given, they'll never succeed. It is true that if we endure and we continually stay steadfast, whatever that prize is, although it may take a while, it will someday be ours.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Right before the break, you heard Bridget Gabrielle begin to speak prophetically, really, about who this president was going to be. And that you're looking right here behind me at the USS Gerald Ford. President Donald Trump is landing on the USS Gerald Ford, and he's going to be getting off. He's going to be speaking to the troops. Remember, President Gerald Ford was the president that came after, was the vice president of Richard Nixon. He was the president, you know, at that point, you know, after Nixon was left.
Right.
And he was a powerful figure. And this is the prophecy. Remember, she just prophesied.
That's amazing.
You know, that this would be taking place.
And you're seeing, make America great again.
Yeah, make America. So you're seeing the president, his helicopter's landing on the U.S., the brand new aircraft carrier. And he's going to be speaking to the troops on the USS Gerald Ford. And his daughter, President Gerald Ford's daughter, is going to introduce him. She actually led the whole project.
Amazing.
I think her name is Susan, I believe it is. And and he's going to be addressing the troops there. So just like it was prophesied by, you know, Gabrielle, it's taking place. And you're looking at right here. This is the elevator that goes down and carries aircraft. Right now it's carrying the president down to be able to see the troops. I mean, it's happening. That's how they bring the – there it is. It's the president coming in. As a matter of fact, we're going to go right there right now and watch, and we'll hear the president's speech. This is President Trump at the USS Gerald Ford.
Thank you very much. What an honor. You know, they just gave me this beautiful jacket. They said, here, Mr. President, please take this home. I said, let me wear it. And then they gave me the beautiful hat. And I said, you know, maybe I'll do that. We have a great Make America Great Again hat. But I say, this is a special day. We're wearing this, right? So I have no idea how it looks, but I think it looks good. It's a great looking hat. Just like this is a great looking ship. Thank you. I'm privileged to stand here today with the incredible men and women of the United States Navy. American sailors are the best war-fighting sailors anywhere in the world, and it's not even close. And Susan, I am so glad you could be with us. I know how hard you worked, 17 visits. And she wanted things done right, I will tell you. They told me she wanted this one done right in honor of both of her parents, who were great, great people. And we wanted to introduce this beautiful vessel to the American people, and I wanted to be here. I wanted to be with you. So, Susan, and to your family, unbelievable job. Unbelievable. The soon-to-be commissioned Gerald R. Ford, USS, what a place. It really feels like a place. You stand on that deck and you feel like you're standing on a very big piece of land, but this is better than land. It'll not only be a great symbol of American strength, but a great legacy for your father and our former president, Gerald Ford. President Ford was a Navy man. By the way, he was also a great athlete. For those of you that didn't know, he saw action in the South Pacific during World War II. He served this country with honor in the military, in Congress, and in the White House. The proud dignity of this ship is a fitting tribute to Gerald Ford, the man and the president. Congratulations to all of the men and women who helped build it. This is American craftsmanship at its biggest, at its best. At its finest, American workers are the greatest anywhere in the world. This warship and all who serve on it should be a source of shared pride for our nation. We're joined today, better believe it, right? Better believe it. Better believe it. And by the way, we're going to soon have more coming. Have more coming. We are joined today by General Mattis, now Secretary Mattis. Where is he? Who will be charged with overseeing this great rebuilding of our military might. We will give the men and women of America's armed services the resources you need to keep us safe. We will have the finest equipment in the world, planes, ships, and everything else. We are going to have very soon the finest equipment in the world. We will give our military the tools you need to prevent war and, if required, to fight war and only do one thing. You know what that is? Win. Win. We're going to start winning again. Admiral John Richardson, Chief of Naval Operations, is with us today as well. Great gentleman. Admiral, we're going to ensure our Navy has the resources, personnel, training, and equipment, the kind of equipment that you need. So congratulations, Admiral, and a lot more is coming. Let me congratulate Captain Richard McCormick, commanding officer of the Gerald R. Ford. This ship will make an extraordinary addition to the fleet, like no other. Like no other. Anywhere in the world, there's nothing like this. It represents the future of naval aviation. I have no greater privilege than to serve as your commander-in-chief and the commander-in-chief of the men and women of the United States military. Great people. Great, great people. I salute you, and I salute our sailors. I will always support you and your mission. I will never, ever let you down. To those who serve our nation in uniform, and to those who build the instruments of our defense, I thank you on behalf of our nation. I agree. Our carriers are the centerpiece of American military might overseas. We are standing today on 4.5 acres of combat power and sovereign U.S. territory, the likes of which there is nothing to compete. There is no competition to this ship. It is a monument to American might that will provide the strength necessary to ensure peace. This ship will carry 4,500 personnel and 70 aircraft and will be a vital component of our defense. This carrier and the new ships in the Ford class will expand the ability of our nation to carry out vital missions on the oceans to project American power in distant lands. Hopefully, its power we don't have to use, but if we do, they're in big, big trouble. This great aircraft carrier provides essential capabilities to keep us safe from terrorism and take the fight to the enemy for many years in the future. The great Admiral Nimitz, who commanded the U.S. Pacific Fleet through the Second World War, once said, "It is the function of the Navy to carry the war to the enemy so that we'll not be fought on U.S. soil. True. On Tuesday, in my address to a joint session of Congress, I asked Congress to eliminate the defense sequester and to support my request for a great rebuilding of the United States military and the United States Navy. After years of endless budget cuts that have impaired our defenses, I am calling for one of the largest defense spending increases in history. And by eliminating the sequester and the uncertainty it creates, we will make it easier for the Navy to plan for the future and thus to control costs and get the best deals for the taxpayer, which, of course, is very important, right? Got to get a good deal. We don't make a good deal, we're not doing our job. The same boat for less money, the same ship for less money, the same airplanes for less money. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. It means we're going to get more of them and we can use them. Our military requires sustained, stable funding to meet the growing needs placed in our defense. Right now, our aging frontline strike and strike fighters, the whole aircraft, many, many aircraft, are often more likely to be down for maintenance than they are to be up in the sky. Our Navy is now the smallest it's been since, believe it or not, World War I. Don't worry. Going to soon be the largest it's been. Don't worry. Think of that. Think of that. In these troubled times, our Navy is the smallest it's been since World War I. That's a long time ago. In fact, I just spoke with Navy and industry leaders and have discussed my plans to undertake a major expansion of our entire Navy fleet, including having the 12-carrier Navy we need. We also need more aircraft, modernized capabilities, and greater force levels. Additionally, we must vastly improve our cyber capabilities. This great rebuilding effort will create many jobs in Virginia and all across America, and it will also spur new technology and new innovation. America has always been the country that boldly leads the world into the future. And my budget will ensure we do so and continue to do exactly that. American ships will sail the seas. American planes will soar the skies. American workers will build our fleets. And America's military will ensure that even though the darkest nights and throughout, a bright and glowing sun will always shine on our nation and on our people. Our Navy is great. Our Navy is great. Our people are great. Great. Our republic will meet any challenge, defeat any danger, face any threat, and always seek true and lasting peace. May God bless our military. May God bless our Navy. May God bless the wonderful Gerald Ford family. And may God continue to bless the United States of America. Thank you very much.
This is so powerful, so exciting to see a commander-in-chief. Wow. The military is so supportive of him, and integrity at the helm is talking yes. about, you know, just and talking about, you know, Lou Engle getting the dream about women are going to be empowered. Patricia King got that word as well. Mm-hmm. And when you start seeing one thing happen, you're looking at the opposite thing taking place. And Bridget Gabrielle just boldly told everyone, and people got their hopes up. In 2015, well, that was the manifestation of that prophetic word delivered by Bridget Gabrielle. Well, if you haven't yet seen the movie The Shack, you've got to go see this movie. I'm telling you, it will stir a lot of things in you. It'll encourage you. I can't tell you too much about it, but actually, this is Pat Hamilton that we talk about all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're now going to know what he looks like. No. Pat Hamilton, he is sharing his testimony at the VFN Dream Center about how that movie impacted him, and then we're going to go to break and be right back. As a matter of fact, we come back, Tim Tebow is hitting the news again. I can't wait to be able to share it. Something about Cactus and the Mets.
And the Mets. Let's
go Mets. This is Pat Hamilton sharing about his experience with seeing the movie The Shack. Take a look.
You can't help but walk away from this movie changed somehow. I mean, it will break the hardest of hearts if you allow it. And it just, again, I was like reliving all these messages you've been speaking over the last several weeks, just being played up in front of me.
It's like, wow. I can't even get away from it here.
I know. It's everywhere. Everywhere I go. It was just beautiful. And just watching Max, which is the lead guy in this movie, his transformation to this movie, and you see all the hurt and the pain, the suffering he was going through, and all the things that happened in his life, you know, even from childhood to this climactic moment. And I could see myself a lot of it in the movie, and what he went through. And how once he, I don't want to talk about what happened, but it was like, you know, you're going to be tested. You're going to have to forgive 1,000 times a day sometimes, because the enemy's going to constantly bombard you with thoughts, trying to get you to go back there, you know. And I was thinking about one of the quotes you brought up, one of the messages about the umbilical cord of unforgiveness. What that
past,
will do to you, what's tied to you.
To us, yeah.
And you'll never, ever be able to live where you're supposed to live in God if you're continually in the past.
Right.
And it just rocked my world, you know. God has been really working on me for a while.
Right.
And it was, you know, I'm done. I'm done with the past. You know, it's time to go forward.
And you think, too, I mean, how did it deal with in regards to, well, people need to deserve forgiveness.
Yeah.
Deserving forgiveness, that you give it if they deserve it, but if they don't deserve it, you don't give it.
Right.
Did that ring? That say anything?
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
We're not the judge.
But what is, because there's a big tragedy that happened to someone in his family.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's really difficult to think, how could that actually, but yet.
Yeah.
We got to speak in mystery because you got to see the movie.
I can't tell you as much as I want to.
All right, give him a hand. Give him a hand.
You did good.
VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Listen to me, men. The story of a nation is the story of its families written large. And if we want to see these things change out here, we've got to start in our home. A messed up man will produce a messed up family that will produce a messed up church that will result in a messed up neighborhood that will cause a messed up city that will bring about a messed up county that will result in a messed up state that will reside in a messed up country that will bring about a messed up world. So if we want better worlds composed of better countries inhabited by better states made up of better counties that are composed of better cities inhabited by better neighborhoods illumined by better churches made up of better families, we better go home better men. It starts with our own commitment to be men of God.
So my son came to me, and she came to me, and we launched this vision of Kids on the Mall in D.C. And 7 months before the gathering, my 12-year-old boy had come to me, and he said, "Dad, I had a dream." And in the dream, there were two gangs fighting, a devil gang and a God gang. And he said, "I went to the leader of the God gang and said, 'How old do you have to be a part of the God gang?' And the leader said, 'The rules have changed. It used to be 21, but now it's 12. He said, "Dad, what does it mean?" I said, "Son, I think you're to be about your father's business at age 12. Tithe your teenage years to God and don't waste them."
Welcome back. back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. If you missed the earlier part of our program, you got to catch it. President Trump is just being a wonderful commander in chief.
Going to work for the American people.
Yeah, and if you got to see the movie The Shack, it made how much in its first week?
$16 million.
$16 million in its first weekend, and it only cost $20 million to make it, so they're right. Already. And how many books did they sell worldwide for The Shack?
21, 27 million. The verdict's not completely out, but it's a lot of books.
You were very specific to her on TV.
Yeah, I know. So. I had to check it out, though.
Oh, no. I didn't realize an asterisk conversation there. Okay, so Tim Tebow.
Millions. Millions.
Well, come on. It was actually over 20 million, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's the top 10 bestsellers in the world, from what I heard.
Amazing.
The Tim Tebow is part of the minor leagues of the Mets, which is the Cactuses. Right? The
cactus, New York Mets.
New York Mets. The cactus flowers. Anyway, so, but he's back in the media right now. As a matter of fact, today, Elijah tells me, today they're having their first game today.
Yes.
In regards to that. But he's hitting the news again. As a matter of fact, here is Tim Tebow.
Walking on a red carpet, you know, that can be life-changing for people. And so to be able to be part of that and see that and now be able to take that mindset to a field, because so much of handling sports is handling pressure. Well, what pressure do you have if you're 0 for 12 and you're at the plate versus someone that is fighting for their life, versus someone that, you know, we picked up on the side of the street in Haiti because they're crippled or they're not wanted or they're thrown in the garbage? Like, how do you compare those things? And for me, there's not a comparison, and that's why you're able to handle sports as a game, because it still is. Yeah, we can pursue it. We can give so much of our time, energy, and effort to it, but at the end of the day, I know that's not why I'm here. It's not my biggest purpose. It's not my biggest calling. It's not what I want to be. It's not how I want to be known in my life. It's not as a football player, as a baseball player, as, you know, someone that, you know, worked hard to accomplish those things. I want my life to be so much more than that. I want to be someone that was known for bringing faith, hope, and love to those needing a brighter day in their darkest hour of need. And that is something that is a life calling for me, and so it's so much bigger than sports. But I am so grateful for sports because it's given me a platform to be able to share and love and care for people all over the world. So I wouldn't trade that for anything.
That's so powerful.
Amazing.
I'm part of the Tim Tebow Club.
Are you?
Yes.
Good for you.
They sent me a shirt. Obviously, thought I was built like him. Like, no, I need a bigger shirt than that. I don't want to show what I got. I was like, still like, you know.
Well, I've got
so
a lot
small.
Of shirts. I got a Jets shirt. I got, you know, Tim Tebow. He changes teams, but you
the
know
airport
what?
Has a shirt. And so, but you know, continue to pray for him. He is a light. I can imagine any team not wanting him because everything just in a positive way. You know, for that team. And we just blessed Tim Tebow. Let's pray right now. I want to pray right now and pray for our president, as we talked about, as you heard Lou Engel. You know, join that 3 days of prayer and fasting if you could. You know, fast something. Pray. And let's just pray right now. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Father God, for all these that are standing up boldly for our nation and for the direction, you know, Bridget Gabrielle and Patricia King that we talked about, President Donald Trump,
yes.
Lord Tim Tebow, and so many others, Lord, that are standing up and saying, you know, this is the right way to go, Father God. And we just pray protection over our president. We cancel all forms of witchcraft and things that aren't true that are going forth. We just call them null and void, and we bless them. And, Lord, may the plans of Haman be turned upon him, God. The enemy, all these ones that are trying to be an enemy of our nation, enemy of our Constitution, Lord, the same plans that they planned for the citizen would turn on them. Lord God, you would turn it around like the days of Esther, Father God, and that this nation would live on, God. Thank you for a strong military, strong commander-in-chief. Thank you for all those military that were there, God. And we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTB.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen
your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survive in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better. Be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Well, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology, and it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.